What is up, everybody? It is DJ Hafo here with my show Bizarro on this fine and beautiful Tuesday here in Marin. It is absolutely gorgeous outside. I am loving this weather. It has been absolutely fantastic this entire week. But if you don't know about my show Bizarro, it is about where we talk about crazy and outrageous news stories happening around the world, and we also talk a little bit about live music and upcoming events in the Bay Area. So I thank you very much for tuning in, and let's get right on into the stories. This week, an otter goes on a rampage at a fast food restaurant in Norway. Now, at first, when I read that title, I could not help but chuckle to myself a little bit, because that sounds hilarious. Unfortunately, after I read the story, I figured out it was not so funny. Unfortunately, the otter had actually been injured, and he had scratches on his face and was bleeding and was basically just insane and started to attempt to attack the patrons in the restaurant. So, unfortunately, the otter had to later be euthanized, which is very sad. Very, very sad. So, allegedly it was hit by a motorboat propeller, and that's how it was damaged and ran in to the restaurant, probably all dazed and didn't know what was going on, and it's very unfortunate. But I have to say, when I saw that title, otter goes on a rampage at a fast food restaurant in Norway, I had to click on it, because you don't really hear about an otter doing anything crazy. It's always like a rabid dog or some crazy bear or something, but you never really hear about an otter going on some kind of rampage. It's absolutely crazy. On to our next news story, we have a man headbutted and then hit with a chair for burping in Taco Bell. So, police in South Carolina are looking for a suspect who apparently does not tolerate bad manners. In Tega Cay, South Carolina, a 20-year-old Fort Mill man sat down with a friend at a local Taco Bell restaurant on Sunday when a man in another booth asked him if he had just belched without saying, "Excuse me." And apparently, he was not too fond of that, because he ended up hitting the man with a chair in the elbow, right in the funny bone, and then grabbed his throat and headbutted him. Which is just ridiculous. And fortunately, right after that, a restaurant worker told the assailant to leave and got him out of there. But that is just crazy. I mean, I understand that burping in public isn't, like, the most, I don't know, polite thing to do, but I would never get to the point where you not only headbutted someone, but hit them with a freaking chair. That is just ridiculous. But you never know what people are going to do. I guess he must have just been having a bad day, and that guy's burping was just the last straw. You never know. You never know what that last straw is going to be for somebody. Ah, man. Of course, in all places, too, it would be Taco Bell. Taco Bell is not having the best reputation right now. Oh, that's ridiculous. On to our next news story. A father in Florida said he slept through a party that his teenage daughter threw and saw more than 100 people at the party. Oh my. No, he did not. He did not sleep through a teenage party with 100 people at it. There's no way. And unfortunately, at this party, 5 teens, including his own daughter, were sent to the hospital. That is just so sad. It could have been prevented. Parties are going to happen in high schoolers, but you have to be careful about it. And these students were not being careful about it. They were mixing the anti-anxiety drug Xanax with alcohol, which is never a good idea at all. Because Xanax is an anti-anxiety drug. It gets you basically to feel numb. You're not feeling much. And alcohol has close to the same effect when you consume too much of it. So combining the two, I can't imagine would be a great idea. That just sounds awful to me. So and the fact that the dad is claiming that he slept through it is just ridiculous. There's no way he slept through a party with 100 people at it. I don't care where you are. If there's 100 people in a room, you're going to hear it. It doesn't make sense. He's probably just trying to cover his own butt, because he's probably responsible for having the party at his own home. So I assume he's probably just trying to cover his own butt. And I guess it says they were all from the ages of 15 to 17, so I guess technically he'd be the only adult there. So, the only one 21 even to provide alcohol, and he's the only adult, legal adult. So, I guess it makes sense that he'd be claiming that, and there's no way to disprove it, I guess, but logically, think about it. 100 people in a house, and you're sleeping? I highly doubt it. I highly doubt it. But, fortunately, all 5 of the students that were sent to the hospital did make it out perfectly fine. 2 of them were actually in critical condition, but they're all well on their way to recovery, and everybody's going to be okay. Nobody died. It's all good, which is a very good thing. It's a very good thing. Our next news story is a man was slapped with 2 DUIs in the same night. Not only that, but at the same place. The same place. Ugh, that's just a whole new level of stupidity. Early Sunday morning, Zachary Boynton, who was 31 years old, allegedly drove his car into the back of a vehicle ahead of him at the McDonald's drive-thru in New York. He was charged with a DWI after troopers say his blood alcohol content was 0.25%, more than 3 times the legal limit of 0.08%. About 4 hours later, Boynton was allegedly back at the same McDonald's and hit the building with his car before fleeing the scene. I can't believe it. So, basically, what happened is he hits the back of this car. He's like, oh, I'm sorry. And the police, like, get his blood alcohol level. It's 0.25. A third party comes to the station and picks him up. And so he can go home. But he has a DWI. And then this guy wants a McDouble so badly again, he goes all the way back to McDonald's only to hit the building? I mean, wouldn't the alcohol level have gone down by then? But instead of hitting a car, he hit the freaking building. I just don't understand how you could be that stupid. I hate that word, stupid, but driving drunk alone is one of the dumbest things you can do in your lifetime. But then to do it twice in the same night and to get caught both times is just a whole new level. Absolutely ridiculous. Ugh, man. And this guy's 31 years old. I can't believe that he doesn't have the judgment to go, hey, you know, I just had a drink. Maybe I can wait on the McDonald's fries. You know, they're not that good. Okay, they are pretty freaking awesome, but they're not driving drunk worthy. I'll tell you that. That's for sure. Along the lines of food and drugs is, I can't believe I'm even reading this story, but a woman says that a marijuana-laced pizza was sent to a grandmother and her grandson. And it sent the boy to the hospital. How does that even happen? So basically what happened is this grandma was taking care of her grandkids. And they ordered a pizza because they were hungry. And they start eating, and everyone's feeling fine. And all of a sudden, her 10-year-old grandson started acting absolutely crazy. He started cussing, going off, talking crazy, and ran out the door butt naked, she told the station. I can't believe that. It's so hard for me to believe that someone would do this, that they would lace a pizza with marijuana and then deliver it to a family. And it's actually so hard to believe that I'm at no liberty to say that it's not the pizza guy's fault, but it's just, think about it logically. If you are a pot smoker, are you really going to want to waste your pot on giving it to someone who doesn't want it? This whole story just doesn't make sense to me. And apparently the pot was put inside of mushrooms on the pizza, so I didn't even know that was possible to begin with. And apparently the other grandkids picked the mushrooms off the pizza while the grandson did not. So the kids who picked the mushrooms off the pizza were totally fine. So I'm having a little trouble believing any part of this story, though, because it's unbelievable. Because if you're a pot smoker, you're not going to want to just give your pot away. It's a weird thing, unless you're absolutely clinically insane and you just want to see other people suffer. That's one thing, and I guess there are some of those people out there. which is ridiculous. But I don't know. That's just an absolutely crazy news story. And the owner of the restaurant that delivered the pizza said, "That's incredible, because no one smokes marijuana here." I highly doubt that, too, but you never know. You never know. A Michigan teacher gives fifth graders non-alcoholic beer. Sounds interesting enough. Superintendent El Colito said the teacher allowed Hyatt Elementary students in Linden to sample O'Doul's that had been brought to the school by a student on March 6th to represent ale common in the 1700s. Okay, so that doesn't sound that bad. The students were told that many people drank ale at the time because water was sometimes dirty or unhealthy. I remember learning that in elementary school too. And what I don't understand is actually the huge controversy over this. I mean, O'Doul's is a non-alcoholic beer. No one's getting drunk off of it. It's not that big of a deal. I understand that giving fifth graders a taste of beer is not the greatest idea. But it's not alcoholic. They probably thought it was gross anyway. And it's not like the teacher did anything that morally wrong. It's not like he was trying to get the students drunk or something. He was just trying to give them a taste of what it would truly be like in the early 1700s. Which is actually kind of cool. I think that's a cool interactive way for students to learn that. And I don't see why it's being made up to be such a big deal. Because it's just a cool way to learn. It's not that big of a deal. But you never know. People always react to this stuff. I guess they wouldn't want kids tasting beer and liking it so much that they try their dads or something ridiculous like that. I guess you never know. I guess you never truly know. It's a crazy world we live in. I'm telling you. Especially with this. A man was arrested for talking too long at a board meeting. So, I watched the video of this, because it's all on video, and it was at a township board meeting. Sorry, I couldn't remember that word. It was a township board meeting, and he was talking about how he wasn't allowed to do certain things with his property, and he was very, very vocal about it. He wasn't being too offensive, though, and after his allotted 3 minutes was up, he wanted to keep talking. And so he was arrested right there for talking beyond that 3 minutes. I think that they should have definitely kicked him out of the room or something, because if your time is allotted 3 minutes, then you should stay for 3 minutes. You shouldn't go over that time. But to be arrested is just a little ridiculous. And it said that he was resisting arrest and obstructing a police officer. I watched the video of him getting arrested, and unless that happened after the fact that he was arrested, I didn't really see too much of that at all. He was not resisting, he was just trying to keep talking, and I'm not a police officer. I'm in no way able to say that was technically the wrong call, but from an honest perspective, that did not seem like the right charge to charge him of resisting and obstructing a police officer. But I it's not my call. It's not at all, actually. But it was a little crazy how he wasn't acting offensively, but he was just trying to defend what he thought was right, which I think everyone has a right to do. Granted, they gave him 3 minutes to do it, and he went over that time. But you never know. You never know. Oh, man, this is a crazy story. Lux the cat trapped his owners in their bedroom and then was later taken to the animal shelter. So basically what happened is Lux is a 22-pound house cat that trapped the Portland, Oregon couple into a bedroom. So basically what happened is Lux the cat scratched the 7-month-old newborn baby. So the father of the baby kicked the cat, and which then caused the cat to go absolutely insane and started attacking them, and so they had to barricade themselves inside the bedroom away from this crazy cat. And I gotta say, if I had a 7-month-old newborn, I'd probably it scratched my newborn, I gotta say, I'd probably kick the heck out of that cat. That is not okay with me. So it's totally understandable why they had to hide away from this cat, but I mean, a 22-pound house cat is actually a pretty big cat, if you think about it. That's pretty massive. I can see that as being pretty intimidating. Except I probably wouldn't have locked myself in the bedroom. I guess I don't know the circumstances at all. I probably would have just walked out of the house and kept him in the house or something, or tried to lock him out of the house, but I was not there. I do not know the circumstances. Again, there was a 7-month-old baby there, which is crazy, but I mean, you gotta watch out, because animals can go ballistic at any time. So it's you gotta be careful. You definitely have to be careful about that one. Our next news story is about how the LAPD just got a Lamborghini cop car. Now, when word of this broke out, a lot of controversy happened, because thinking they're spending taxpayer dollars on a Lamborghini police car, and luckily, I did some research, and that is not the case. That is not the case. They did not use taxpayer dollars to buy a Lamborghini for the police. It is a privately owned car, which is being lent to the police for charity and recruitment events. So it's not. They're not actually using. You're not going to be pulled over by a Lamborghini when you're cruising through LA. So it's totally. And I think that's actually kind of cool. Because if you see, I'm looking at a picture of it right now, and it is awesome. It looks really sick, and if you're at a charity event or a recruitment event, that's really, really cool. That's really, really cool, and it's eye catching, and it's very awesome. It's very awesome. So, and don't worry, it's not like your money went to buying a million-dollar car. Don't worry about that at all. All right, we're going to cut to our first break here, and when we get back, we're going to talk about a lot of fun stuff like live music, and Bottle Rock Festival in Napa just released their lineup, so we're going to talk about that a little bit, and a bunch of other shows coming up. So let's get on to our song here. This is Disclosure with their song Latch.
Thank you.
That was Disclosure with their hit song Latch. I absolutely love that song. That song is so catchy and different, and I absolutely love it. Now on to the live music part of the show. We're going to talk about different kind of venues and what kind of shows they have coming up, and I'm quite excited because Bottle Rock in Napa just released their lineup, and I can't wait to share it with you. They got a lot of great people coming to their show. But to start off, we're going to go on to Bill Graham Civic Auditorium in San Francisco, actually on Grove Street in San Francisco, and they've got lots of cool shows coming up, actually. One brand new show that I have yet to talk about yet is New Order with the opening act of LaRue. Now, I think that would be an awesome show. That would be absolutely incredible to go. They go on sale March 20th, and the show is Friday, July 11th. So if you really want to go see New Order and LaRue, you gotta be there March 20th online at Ticketmaster to get your tickets, because that's going to be a fantastic show. But again, we have Ellie Goulding coming Saturday, April 19th. To Bill Graham Civic Auditorium, and I think that's going to be a fantastic show. I've heard so many good things about Ellie Goulding live, and I think she's very cool. She's very different. She likes a hint of electronic in her music, and I thoroughly enjoy that. So it's going to be a fantastic show. So definitely check that out. Lana Del Rey is coming Friday, April 18th. I will be attending that show. I cannot wait. It is going to be so much fun. If you end up going, please let me know through my Twitter page at DJ Haffo, HAFFO, and we can meet up and chat and go see some awesome music together. Queens of the Stone Age are coming Thursday, April 17th. Wow, Bill Graham's having a very long weekend that weekend. April 17th, 18th, and 19th, they're all having shows. That's crazy. But yeah, Queens of the Stone Age with Warpaint are coming April 17th, and tickets are available still, so definitely get on that if you're a big Queens of the Stone Age fan. And coming up very, very quickly here is Robin Thicke on Saturday, March 29th. Now, again, I've talked about this before, but Robin Thicke really isn't my personal favorite, but he is very popular, especially with the song Blurred Lines, because that song got very popular very, very quickly. So if you're a Robin Thicke fan, I would highly suggest seeing him live. He's actually been around for quite some time, but Blurred Lines really took him to the top. Really took him to the top. So, and of course, twerking with Miley Cyrus, that also got him a lot of publicity as well. So he's working his way up after a long time of being there. Now at the Greek Theater at UC Berkeley, we have Disclosure. The song I just showed you was by Disclosure, and they're coming Friday, April 18th. I will not be able to go because I'm going to Lana Del Rey April 18th, but I am so wishing I could go to Disclosure. That would be so much fun. Yeah, but again, they're coming April 18th, my bad. April 18th to the Greek Theater at UC Berkeley, and I'm so jealous of anybody that goes to that show because that will be amazing. I saw Mumford & Sons at the Greek Theater, actually, and it was one of the best shows I've ever been to. The Greek Theater is an amazing venue. It's just, you feel so close. Everyone's personal. It's just this round little amphitheater, and it's absolutely incredible. You're by the bay. You get that nice breeze. It's one of my favorite venues of all time. It is fantastic. Willie Nelson and Family is coming to the Greek Theater and on April 12th on Saturday, and tickets are still available, so I would definitely check that out if you're a Willie Nelson fan. I actually saw Willie Nelson at Outside Lands last year, and he was pretty cool. It was he's getting up there now, but he can still hit some of those notes. It's awesome. He's doing a good job. I didn't stay for his whole set, but I stayed for quite some time, and it was fun. It was really fun to see that. The National is coming for two nights to the Greek Theater on Saturday, April 26th and April 27th. The Saturday show is sold out, but the Sunday show is not. So you should definitely go to that show because Portugal the Man is opening for the National, and Portugal the Man is absolutely incredible. I actually, at Outside Lands, had a chance to meet the lead singer of Portugal the Man and had a blast talking to him. He was the nicest guy, and he was just so fun to talk to. He let us take pictures with him and everything. It was so much fun. And later that day, we actually got to see him perform at Outside Lands, and that was even more special. So that was an incredible experience. So the National with Portugal the Man, I can't recommend that show enough. That would be just a blast to see. Dave Matthews Band is coming for three nights, Friday, August 22nd, 23rd, and 24th. All three shows are sold out, but I'm sure you could go on StubHub, find one of those scalpers that could get you some tickets, but you never really know. So, and Jack Johnson is also coming to the Greek Theater August 26th on Tuesday, and that would be a lot of fun. Jack Johnson is just got the most beautiful voice, and it is just incredible, absolutely incredible. Now on to the Fox Theater. We have Kraftwerk coming with their 3D concert for three nights in a row, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, March 23rd, 24th, and 25th. All shows start at 8 p.m. Unfortunately, again, they are all sold out, but I'm sure you can get some tickets somewhere if you're a huge Kraftwerk fan. Kraftwerk essentially started electronic music. Electronic music would be nothing without Kraftwerk because they started in, what, the 70s? Like, it was like the late 70s, maybe? It was with their song, It's Robot something, and it's a blast to listen to. It's just how much electronic music has changed since Kraftwerk came out is awesome. I looked up some videos of the Kraftwerk concert previous events, not in Oakland, and it looked like an absolute blast. So I would definitely check that out if you're interested in seeing where some electronic music originated. And we have Lord coming Wednesday, March 26th and Thursday, March 27th to the Fox Theater in Oakland. Both shows start at 8 p.m. I absolutely love Lord. She's got a great voice and very, very talented. I would recommend seeing her live. I unfortunately can't go, but I'm jealous of everybody who can because she's one of my favorite artists right now. I absolutely can't wait for that. Now we can move on to the Bottle Rock, the Bottle Rock lineup. I cannot wait for Bottle Rock. I hope I can go. I really hope I can go. I have not purchased a ticket yet, but after seeing this lineup, it's really convincing me I need to go. First off, we have The Cure coming to Bottle Rock, which would be awesome to see them. Absolutely amazing, especially at a place like Bottle Rock. Bottle Rock is kind of beautiful in that it's in Napa. It's in Napa, and it's so secluded. It's the first music festival to happen in Napa, and it's actually fairly new. Bottle Rock, I'm pretty sure, originated last year. It started up last year, and I can't wait to try going this year or going in years to come because it looks like a lot of fun. I really can't wait to go. Outkast is coming as well. I'm sure you know them by their like Hey Ya song or Sorry Miss Jackson song. They are actually doing a comeback tour to many different festivals this year. I just got wind that unfortunately they will not be at Outside Lands like I had previously said, so I apologize for making that mistake. They said they were touring to 50 festivals, West Coast and East Coast, and they actually had time allotted in their schedule for August 8th to August 10th, so I just assumed they would be at Outside Lands, but I thought wrong. I thought wrong. Apparently, they're actually going to Germany instead during that time, so I apologize for giving you the misinformation about Outkast, but they will be at Bottle Rock in Napa, so if you want to see Outkast, you got to go to Bottle Rock. By the way, I don't believe I ever said the dates for Bottle Rock. It is May 30th, May 31st, and June 1st. And you can buy 3-day passes, VIP passes, platinum passes, and they got a bunch of food, wine. It's a great event. It's a great event. I had many friends go last year and absolutely loved it. They said it was a little hot, even for Napa Valley, but they thoroughly enjoyed it. Eric Church is coming, along with Weezer. Weezer is also going. And LL Cool J. Oh, God. LL Cool J is hilarious. Especially when he hosts the Grammys. He does a pretty good job hosting the Grammys. I always love that. The Fray is coming to Bottle Rock as well. The Fray is one of those bands who I love, but I've never really thought about seeing them live. I would never really purchase tickets to see them, but I own almost every one of their albums, and it's just one of those things. I just don't think I would enjoy them live, but I'm sure they're great. I've just never really thought about it. I've never really been like, oh, let's go see The Fray. But they're going to be there, so if I end up going, I'm definitely going to check them out, because I have every one of their albums. I should see them live. I don't see a reason why not to. Heart is coming. I'm sure you know them from their hit song Barracuda, and they're actually a very, very, very old band. Heart is from a generation well before our time, and I'm surprised they're still going. I actually got a chance to see Heart in 2008 when I went to go see Journey, and they were opening up for Journey, and that was an amazing experience to hear Heart, because especially for my dad, who'd been listening to him all throughout his life, really, and to actually hear them live was fantastic. So Heart is going to be at Bottle Rock. Deer Hunter is going to be at Bottle Rock, along with Third Eye Blind. Third Eye Blind is known for their hit song, I Wish You Would Step Back From That Ledge, My Friend. That song, I love that song. I absolutely love that song. And Matt and Kim are going to be at Bottle Rock. Matt and Kim were at Outside Lands last year, and I cannot say too many good things about them. They were an absolute blast. They were more interactive with the audience than I've ever seen an artist be. They were jumping on the crowd, literally dancing. Like, the crowd made a walkway for them with their hands, and they walked out onto the crowd. They were the most insane and awesome duo I've ever seen perform live. It was absolutely incredible. Oh, I wish I want to see them again so badly. Robert DeLong is going to be there, along with the Black Angels, Delta Ray, Minor, Ben Soli, Mati Siahu, Moon Taxi, Hooray for the Riff Raff, and Smash Mouth. I have a very funny story about Smash Mouth, actually. Smash Mouth actually came to a local county fair in my hometown of Roseville. And they were the headlining show, and they were actually really fun to see live, because I'd heard all their songs through Shrek, and I had all their albums when I was a kid, so it was really a trip for the inner kid in me, so it was an absolute blast. But near the end of the show, they started calling people up onto the stage, and they started pointing to people, and oddly enough, it was all teenagers. I thought that was kind of weird, mostly teenage girls. And so a row of teenage girls were called up right in front of us. So me and my buddy Calvin decided, you know, you only really live once, so we we just followed the girls, and we acted like we were part of their group. We didn't say anything to them, and they didn't say anything to us, and we just got backstage. We really just walked backstage and onto the stage, right onto the stage with Smash Mouth, which was an incredible experience. We didn't actually get to go too far onto the stage, because there was already a lot of people on there, but we were in the back. We were actually on the same stage as Smash Mouth, which was a cool thing to say that you've done. But unfortunately, I ended up getting the chance to shake the lead singer's hand, Steve Harvey, and he was not nice, to say the least. He was cocky, full of himself, he was just not a nice person, and I was so expecting him to be, but I guess your ego can grow if you go from one of the top bands in the 90s to now playing county fairs. I guess, I don't know, you kind of go a little crazy, I'm assuming, so... Poor guy, just he was at the top of the world only 10 years ago, and now he's playing county fairs. It's really too bad. Theo Seas is also coming to Bottle Rock, along with Bare Naked Ladies. Bare Naked Ladies has one of my favorite songs in the whole wide world, If I Had a Million Dollars. I love that song so, so much. It's a fantastic song. And last but not least, we have Robert Earl Keane, The Stone Foxes, and Moonalice also coming as well. It sounds like a great lineup. There were a few I left out in there. If you want to check out the lineup, go to www.bottlerocknapavalley.com/lineup, and you can check out the full lineup. I only talked about ones I personally knew about, really. So if you want to check out the full lineup, please be sure to check that out. And now I actually have some other events coming up at the SAP Center in San Jose. Electric Bounce House is coming with Tiesto, Afrojack, and Calvin Harris. That sounds like an incredible show. I so wish I could go. It's coming up pretty quick here. That's happening in 3 days, actually, March 21st. And so, Tiesto, Afrojack, and Calvin Harris, all huge, huge, huge DJs who are absolutely awesome. I've never seen any of them live, but I love their music, and I really wish I could go. That'd be awesome. Kings of Leon are coming March 25th, and I'm not a huge Kings of Leon fan, to be perfectly honest, but I would love to see them live just because they're such a popular band, you know. And just be able to say you've seen Kings of Leon would be really cool. But they are coming to the SAP Center in San Jose, so be sure to be on the lookout for all those shows. Armin van Buuren is also coming to the SAP Center in San Jose, May 1st, 2014. Armin van Buuren was actually the number one DJ rated by DJ Mag for multiple years in a row. He got replaced by, I believe, Alesso this year, but Armin van Buuren is still known as the king of electronic music, and I would love to see him live, but tickets, when I looked, were just ridiculous. I would love to see him, but I'm not willing to pay $100 to go see him. I would not drop that much money, and for $100, you don't even get close to the stage. You're way back in the nosebleeds, so I just think it's ridiculously priced. I would never pay that much to just see one DJ, but I'm a huge fan, and I really wish I could, but I'll just stick to listening to him on my iPod. Lady Gaga is coming June 3rd, 2014. Personally, I don't think I'd ever see Lady Gaga live. I would be probably a little scared. I still remember the time she came to the award ceremony in a meat suit made of red meat, which was pretty disgusting. Very disgusting, actually. So I'd be a little scared after that incident. But she's honestly a great vocalist. She knows what she's doing. She was also a concert pianist, I believe, before she became famous, and she's a very talented human being, just not particularly my type of style, I would say. So on to the next place. Before we go, also coming to the SAP Center, Cher is coming July 2nd, along with Justin Timberlake is coming August 11th, and Bruno Mars is coming August 15th as well. All tickets can be purchased at www.sapcenteratsanjose.com/events/categories/concerts-shows. So be sure to check that out and get some tickets if you'd really, really like to go. A very interesting show that I thought it really kind of caught my eye was that Queen is coming with Adam Lambert to the SAP Center. I thought that was a very odd mix because I just don't associate Queen and Adam Lambert being a part of the same genre, I'd say. But I guess it's appealing to two separate audiences, and you'll get the max amount of money out of it. So that's pretty cool, actually, for them. But you never, I just wouldn't expect those two to tour together at all. But anyways, we're gonna cut to another song break really quick here, and this is "Find You" by Zedd.
Calling faith to shadow me through your hallways, new echoes you can feel and rehearse the way you heal.
Make them dance just like you.
All right, welcome back. That was Find You by the wonderful Zed. He's such an amazing DJ. I love all of his songs. So now we're heading back into the crazy and outrageous news stories part of the show. I absolutely love this. I love talking about these crazy news stories because they're so funny, because you don't really hear about them because a lot of them are too crazy to be put on the news. So I look in the deep crevices of the weird news websites to try to find some of these stories. And I think I succeeded, especially with this one. A woman was jailed for microwaving her kitten. That one hurts so deep down inside, because it wasn't even a cat. It was just a kitten. A kitten. A poor little innocent kitten. And she was thrown into jail for 14 weeks. Not long enough, in my opinion. You put a kitten in the microwave, you deserve jail for at least a couple of years. She put the kitten in the microwave. Her reasoning was that the kitten was actually attacked a goldfish that apparently she loved dearly, because she ended up putting the cat in the microwave as punishment for killing the goldfish. So I just don't understand. I can't even fathom what happened. And it says here, this makes it so much worse. The 4-month-old cat initially survived the minute-long ordeal, but died, what vets said, probably a terrible death within 2 hours later. That is just so awful. How could you torture a poor kitten like that? I guess people just don't know that microwaves are probably the worst thing to do to an animal at all. I heard a long time ago that a woman put her cat in the microwave because she thought it would dry it off or something. And then, do you remember about 6 months ago when trying to get views on that app Vine, two teenage girls put a kitten in the microwave for 5 seconds just to try to get views on Vine? I couldn't believe it. How could you be that stupid? That thing cooks you from the inside out. The inside out. You know how painful that would be? Ugh, I can't even imagine the feeling. And poor kittens. Ugh, it's so sad. Man, and along the lines of animal abuse, I don't like animal abuse, but it just so happened that these two stories popped up. A Twitter photo of a dog held upside down over a beer keg has a pair of college students in Western New York facing animal cruelty charges. The young Labrador Retriever Maya was apparently being forced to drink. I can't believe you would do that. Why would you force a Labrador to drink beer? I get maybe in your drunken stupor you thought, oh, that'd be kind of funny, but you never actually do it. You're forcing a dog to consume a beverage that's poisonous to humans, and let alone dogs. I mean, it's... I don't understand how you could do that to a dog, an innocent dog. It has no... It trusts you completely. To with its life, and you just go try to feed it beer and like through it. It's just ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous. And why you would post a photo of it on Twitter is beyond me. I would get if you maybe posed the picture but didn't actually have the dog drinking the beer. Like, you posed the dog in a position where it would be looking like it was doing a beer keg, but like it's not. They were actually forcing it to drink, so that was. That's not cool. That is not cool. A woman in New Jersey has been charged with second-degree manslaughter and first-degree assault after administering a fatal silicone injection. Tamira Mobley, 28, who says she's a beautician, injected silicone into the buttocks of a college student, Tamara Blaine, who was 22 years old, in a pay-by-the-hour New York hotel room. Everything about that sounds really sketchy. A woman who just claims she's a beautician decides to inject silicone into your butt, and you go along with it? You go, yeah, that sounds like a good idea, and we're just sitting here in a hotel room. I just can't believe you would do that. And this story actually gets even sadder. Tamara Blaine, the silicone got into her bloodstream and she died later. But what the saddest part about this story is that her mom, the woman who died's mom, didn't know about it until she got the hospital bill for her daughter being sent to the hospital. I just can't even imagine that as a mother. Just, ugh. I couldn't. Being the mother of someone and getting the hospital bill for their death, I can't even imagine that. It's just a sad story all around, and it just goes to show you shouldn't just trust someone in a hotel room who claims she's a beautician to inject any substance inside of you. It's just common sense not to do something like that. It's just a terrible idea. Terrible idea. A police officer responding to a 911 call has been charged with sexually assaulting a woman involved in a domestic disturbance. Oh my God. San Jose officer Jeffrey James, 38, is accused of rape. Rape. That is ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. According to the DA's office, Graves and other officers responded to a call of a couple fighting on September 22, 2013, but determined that both parties had been drinking and that no crime had taken place. The wife, however, asked to be escorted to the hotel where she works as a maid so that she could sleep there. She told the authorities that about 15 minutes after Graves brought her to the hotel, he returned, knocked on the door, and raped her. Oh my God. See, this is the problem. Police officers are supposed to be someone you can look up to. You can know they're protecting you, you trust them, they're supposed to be just the authority figure of the whole country, but they're here raping people. I guess no one is perfect. I understand that. No one is perfect. But if you are a cop and you do anything wrong, you are putting a bad name for every other cop. Every other cop out there is getting dragged down with you, because people are going to stop trusting cops if stuff like this keeps happening. Like, they're not going to trust cops to walk them home, because the last time that happened, someone got raped. I mean, if you have any motive to do anything wrong, especially something like rape. Rape is the worst thing you can do. And just don't become a cop. If you ever think that's a possibility for you, just don't become a cop. It's unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. On a much, much lighter note, a wanted man ends up turning himself in after finding his mugshot on Google. A California man who allegedly fired shots at a party last summer turned himself into the police after he searched his name on Google and discovered that he was one of the state's most wanted fugitives. Here's the thing that I don't understand, is that he was wanted because he fired a gun at a party and into the ground. It didn't hit anybody. And no one was injured. He just fired it into the ground. Who knows? It could have been one of those things where you were just trying to get everyone to shut up or something. But you should never fire a gun in a room full of crowded people. But nobody was hurt at all. And he fled the scene, so no one caught him. But how could he be one of California's most wanted fugitives for just simply firing a bullet into the ground? I don't think there was any motive behind there. He wasn't trying to kill anyone. It blows my mind that he could be. Aren't there like murderers like often in California? Don't people die pretty often because of stuff like that? But this guy just shot into the ground, and he's one of the most wanted fugitives. I have a very, very hard time believing that he could truly be one of the most wanted fugitives. But hey, it's kind of a cool story, because he just looked himself up on Google, realized he was one of the most wanted fugitives, like, oh crap. And then he just walked into the police station. I'm sorry, I'm one of the most wanted fugitives. I guess when you're beat, you know? It's just, he wasn't going to try to run from it. Once you're a most wanted fugitive, I guess you just got to give it up. You can't keep going with that. This story is absolutely insane. A Plainville, Connecticut couple could face criminal charges after authorities found nearly 200 diseased chickens crammed into their home. The Department of Agriculture is saying it's one of the most extreme cases of animal hoarding they've ever seen. Ah, oh my God. 200 diseased chickens trapped in a home. Ugh, that's just disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. And luckily the disease was, there was no threat to the humans over the disease, but it could have spread to other chickens and stuff like that. But I just, why is my only question is why? Why would you do that? 200 diseased chickens in your home? And I'm looking at pictures of it now, and it's absolutely disgusting. It's the gross, it's so gross. Because you no longer live there. You are renting it from the 200 chickens, because they own the house now. They outnumber you severely if you're living there. I just, what possesses you to want to live with that? I guess every week I'm surprised again with a new story. I just, it blows my mind that what some people can do in this world. I have a hard time believing it. A very hard time believing it. On to our next news story. An upstate New York girl who is 5 years old spends the day at the wrong school. The reason I decided to talk about this story is because it's actually kind of crazy, the odds of it happening. So, officials say an upstate New York school district say a kindergartner spent a day at the wrong school after getting on the wrong bus. So, first of all, that's kind of rare that you would get on the wrong bus. I'm assuming if your parents would probably try to make sure you get on the wrong bus, get on the right bus. Your parents would definitely try to make sure you get on the right bus. Not they. I know my parents would not have sent me out on the wrong bus. So it must have been very easily mistakable for a different bus. So she got on the wrong bus, and then when she got to the school, the school was actually expecting a first grader. So they said, oh, are you this new first grader? And the girl says, yes, I am. And she spends the whole day there. And the school, the girl's original school ends up calling her mom and says, hey, your daughter's not at school. She wasn't there. And the mom freaked out, and they eventually figured out where she was. But I just think it's so crazy that the first grade girl that was originally supposed to go to that school never showed up. And this five-year-old just decides to be someone else for a day. That's awesome. I never would have thought of that when I was 5 years old. I would have just, I probably would have been like, no, this isn't my school. I need to go. But this girl was like, eh, let's try it. Let's give it a shot. Yeah, I'm Molly. I can pretend to be a first grader. That's so cool. I just thought that was absolutely insane that everything just worked out perfectly for this five-year-old to go to a different school for a day. I think that's hilarious. So, a couple actually found $10 million in coins in their yard. $10 million in coins. Gold coins, not even just regular coins. Gold coins. Minted between 1847 and 1894 in their backyard. I can't believe that. I'm so jealous. Because not only is it cool finding buried treasure, but finding buried treasure that is actually worth $10 million is really cool. I just, that is so awesome. I mean, what are the odds of that? Because our country is not that old. So this, and it says here it was between 1847 and 1894. So our country really isn't that old. So to find buried treasure is actually kind of rare, because for people to actually bury it, there would have to be a specific reason. Chances are it was probably a robbery, or someone that like a robber buried his loot and just never came back for it, or was killed or something, or a very rich man didn't trust the banks or something like that. So that's probably, they're assuming where the money came from. And apparently they're in very good condition, some of the best of their kind, because they were kept inside of a tin can for a very, very long time. How would you randomly just start digging up those, like, coins? Just start digging up random chunks of dirt to find it. So it's just lucky alone that they found it, but then $10 million. What would you even do with $10 million? I wouldn't know what I would do with $10 million. That is crazy. This last story is quite funny. The police seek an Amish buggy that was in western Pennsylvania, and it was in a hit-and-run accident. And the buggy was actually the one that ran away. An Amish buggy was hit a Honda CRV, a crossover vehicle, and it struck it on its side and fled the scene. So it did damage to the car. And luckily, no one was hurt, but it struck the car, and then he was like, nope, and ran away. And what I think is funny is that I don't think they're going to catch him. I truly don't, because he doesn't have a license plate. There's no model number. Like, it's a buggy, and I don't think they're going to catch him. I think that's a truly funny story. That's a very, very funny story to me. I don't know. Personally, I just get a kick out of that. Alrighty, guys. It is 5 o'clock. It is the end of the show, Bizarro. Thank you for listening to the crazy and outrageous news stories this week and all the live show information and Bottle Rock Festival information. I had a great time talking to you today. It was so, so much fun. Remember, you can only listen to Bizarro on radio.dominican.edu. I'm DJ Hafo, and I will see you guys later.
Well, I'm accustomed to a smooth ride. Or maybe I'm a dog who's lost his bad. I don't expect to be treated like a